show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Thanks for joining us this afternoon on this beautiful Southwest Florida day, coming to you from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida. Of course, streaming the program all around Florida, all around the country, and, all around the world. And glad to have each and every one of you with us. Thanks so much for all your email and correspondence. We do enjoy hearing from you. Thanks to Corey Stone for the great book we got in the mail today. We'll be starting on that this weekend. Can't wait. Do a lot of reading. Always enjoy getting good books. Hey, what are we without books? And I appreciate that very, very much. Just want him to know that. A lot on tap today, kind of a hodgepodge. You know, first of all, most important things, go Buckeyes. Beat our arch rival, the meat chicken Wolverines, over the weekend. That was great. I'm still basking in the glow of that. I know a lot of people don't understand maybe the ferocity of that rivalry and how that a grown man can be so excited over something so insignificant to many people. But, yes, in fact, I am still higher than a kite over that. It's been, I don't know, 1,400 and some odd days since the meat chicken Wolverines have beaten the Ohio State Buckeyes, and that's just a good thing if you're a Buckeye. Yes, it is. Don't live in the Buckeye State anymore, but always a Buckeye at heart, that's for sure. So much for football today. The BCS rankings, odd. Congratulations to the team near and dear to Bob Kincaid, the Mountaineers. Watched them play Cincinnati on Saturday night, and the Nears are looking mighty good. They've got a local boy here on their team, so looking real good. We're going to be talking about a hodgepodge of things that have happened here in a couple of days. Things kind of quiet along the in the House and the Senate this week. You don't think they get an early start on Thanksgiving, do you? Nah. Those guys get a day off whenever they can, which is more than it should be for the money they get. But anyway, not a whole lot going on in Washington this week, so it'll be a lot on the campaign trail. And then along about Wednesday afternoon, it'll pipe down. And then Thursday, everybody will be eating ham and turkey and big Thanksgiving. What are you going to do for Thanksgiving? Gone over to some friend's house you usually go to and spend the whole day talking and eating and commiserating. We'll have a good old time, always do. Looking forward to that. Trying to think what kind of a dessert I'll make to take this year. I'm leaning toward making a key lime cheesecake. I make a very special key lime cheesecake. Of course, you make a big batch of fresh whipped cream to go on top of that. Makes me hungry just thinking about it. Of course, pecan pie, mince pie, what kind of pumpkin pie, of course, and turkey and ham, and I'm not a cranberry person myself, but a lot of people love cranberry sauce and good old-fashioned stuffing and creamed corn and Waldorf salad. My God, it makes me hungry sitting here thinking about it. It really does. So we've got that to look forward to in just a couple of days coming up on Thursday. Had somebody ask me this week, and I always get a kick out of this. Say, hey, Guy, what day is Thanksgiving on this year? Wasn't it on Tuesday last year? I don't know. Some people never seem to, people never seem to catch on. I do want to talk a little bit about John McCain today, a little bit about Mr. 9/11, Rudy Giuliani, the hero of 9/11, you know, and Huckabee. And Fred Thompson, did you know, I had one of my sources tell me, an insider, a Republican, a Thompson man, and they are very much worried that all the rumors that circulated before Fred was becoming the great white hope, jumping into the race, you know, he was going to save them, they're becoming very worried that, in fact, Freddie Boy won't keep up with the campaign schedule, that he cannot, that he does not want to, that he will not put forth the effort it takes to actually get out and do the hardcore campaigning like all of them do. And to evidence that whole thing, he told me that on a bus trip through Iowa just a couple of days ago, they were on one of those nice buses, and they stopped at a small town where Fred was supposed to get out and speak to the people gathered there. There were 40 or 50 people waiting to hear from Fred, and they could not get Fred awakened from his nap. And it wasn't like he'd had a hard day. This was like 11 o'clock in the morning. And they couldn't get him awakened from his nap, and he pretty much blew off this little town where they stopped, and they went on to the next one. By then, they had him refreshed and dressed and ready to go. So you like to hear a little inside information. There's a little inside tip from a friend of mine who's on the conservative side of things, really a mercenary. I think he'd work for any campaign. There are people like that, you know, that don't have an ounce of partisanship in them. They're just political whores that go out and work for whoever will hire them and pretend to be Republicans, and then they pretend to be whatever they need to be. Yeah. How many of you saw Chris Matthews last night? I usually, you know, he's on twice every evening. Was it 5 and 7 o'clock? And I usually try and catch one of those shows, but I'm becoming less and less inclined to do so because of Chris himself. My God, what is wrong with him lately? First of all, Chris, if you're going to have guests on your show, shut up and let them talk. If you ask a question, shut up and let them answer the question. God, I hate it when he does that, has somebody on it and constantly interrupts them. When we have a guest on this program, we always extend the courtesy of letting them get out the point they want to get to without needlessly interrupting them. The reason to have a guest on is to hear their views. Not Chris, more of Chris Matthews' view. He just uses them as something to bounce off of. He invites a guest on and asks him a question and then answers it for him. I get so sick of seeing that, and I think I'm probably going to stop tuning in because of that. I never could stand to watch Tucker Carlson very much, but I wonder how many of you noticed this. I watched the Chris Matthews show last evening, and when it was over, I just wanted to take a shower. And why? Because here's Matthews, who claims to be a credible journalist, having the meat of his show last night be about the highly suspicious claim by Bob No Facts Novak that the Clinton campaign is threatening to smear Obama with some unknown slime they claim to have. They claim to have. By Bob Novak. Matthews claiming that Novak, despite having a reputation for making things up, Matthews seemed to think he's redeemed himself by having it known that Richard Armitage was his source for the Valerie Plame story. Okay, so Armitage was his source in this case. So what? That's what journalists do, isn't it? They have legitimate sources, and they write stories that they get from these sources. So does actually having Armitage as a legitimate source for the Plame story prove that he's now some sort of a bulletproof journalist who always has the facts? You know, with Novak's reputation, I would call BS on this one. And Matthews knows this, but he spent most of the show last night repeating it over and over and over again and keeping the pot stirred. You know, he hates Hillary Clinton and anyone who ever had anything to do with her. The thing I don't know, and I've speculated this, you know, talked about it with other people in the biz. What did Bill Clinton do? Did he, you know, did he spurn advances by Matthews to get a job with the Clinton administration, or what? Why the hatred of anything Clinton by this so-called liberal Matthews? I mean, what? Why does Matthews go out of his way almost every single day to smear Hillary Clinton? I mean, as you well know, she's not my candidate, but this is getting to sound like a broken record. Every day. You know, he actually's got a sneer on his face when he mentions her or Bill Clinton. And the story about Gore last night. God, I couldn't believe it. He brought up the swift boating of Kerry and went on about how awful it was. But said the smearing of Al Gore over his supposed claim to invent the internet was fully justified because Gore had actually said that. You know, the question to Chris Matthews is, Chris, where the hell have you been? Haven't you heard that the story about Al Gore saying that he invented the internet and all is a bunch of crap? He never said that. Of course, he pressed on with Sliman Gore once again. Because he was Clinton's vice president. That's reason enough for Matthews to slime him. But, you know, how can any credible journalist in this day and age still be passing around that story about Gore saying that he invented the internet? He did not say that. He most assuredly did not say that. I don't know. I get tired of these programs. And you're right. Somebody mentioned another one. I'll let her remain nameless. One of our compadres on this side of the aisle has interviews with people and just interviews them. You know, interrupts them constantly, time after time after time. Thought you might be interested in hearing this.
Things he mentioned in a sentence: a noun and a verb and 9/11. I mean, there's nothing else.
These frequent, some would say constant mentions of 9/11, you've trailed off a little bit lately.
You know, Brian, I don't think that's correct.
The president has every right to talk about September 11th.
I'm not talking about September 11th.
Just because of September 11th?
September 11th is part of our debate.
What I did on September 11th.
Not just September 11th.
Not September 11th.
Nothing to do with September 11th.
Nothing to do with September 11th. September 11th.
We'd be putting our head in the sand if we took September 11th out of the debate.
I mean, I've lived through crisis. September 11th is obviously the biggest one.
Crisis and under pressure, like September 11th.
I've had to be responsible for the safety and security of my assistant U.S. attorneys, for the law enforcement people that work with me, then for 8 million New Yorkers, and then who knows how many on September 11th.
They were my responsibility. That's the way I looked at it on September 11th.
And the point that I think it was Congressman Paul made before, that we've never had an imminent attack, I don't know where he was on September 11th.
They want to come here and kill us. And they did on September 11th.
September 11th, which cast somewhat of a different light on the Second Amendment and Second Amendment rights.
The cell phone call, and there was some negative press. He's here to clear that up. I know people are sending you.
Quite honestly, since September 11, most of the time when we get on a plane, we talk to each other.
Let's talk about your friend Bernard Kerik.
He was, in fact, heroic on September 11.
I support security at the borders. I think security is enormously important in the post-September 11 period.
I know Hillary Clinton. You know, I got to know her actually probably the best during September 11. Didn't really get to know her until September 11.
You were most angry when she used the words to General Petraeus, the willing suspension of disbelief.
Yes.
You felt she was,
well, that
she was calling
that was
him a liar.
Pure, that was pure, real disappointment. First of all, what happened on September 11?
Have people forgotten?
It's natural, right? I mean, you have a terrible attack like September 11.
I think we should remind ourselves, because I remember it every day. September 11.
September 11.
September 11.
September 11.
If someone who lived through the attack is September 11, I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11.
But in the 90s, there was an excuse for that. We didn't have September 11 happening to us.
He didn't have the knowledge of September 11.
He didn't know September 11 was coming.
Cut back, cut back, cut back, and we'll be back in our pre-September 11 mentality.
Pre-September 11 mentality.
Before September 11th.
Before September 11th.
A long time before September 11th.
Quite some time before September 11th.
Then September 11th happened.
September 11th happens. Now you have September 11th.
Now we know about September 11th.
On 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 September 11th.
And once September 11th happened,
within a half hour of September 11th.
I guess the whole point is, and we've worn it out by now, there's some 3 minutes and 11 seconds I hear nothing but Rudy Giuliani saying September 11th. Does he say that in his sleep? Does he have little September 11s jumping over fences in his sleep? Is that all the guy thinks about? Does he really believe, and does he justifiably believe that the American public are going to swallow that deal and make him president of the United States because he says he was the hero of 9/11? And au contraire, I think the firemen in New York might want to tell a different story. In fact, they are telling a different story. And there's a lot of people in New York City. You know, the firemen last night that I saw on TV said, when you saw Giuliani running down the street during September 11th with that mask on his face, it wasn't that he was out doing anything. It was because he didn't have any place to go. Because he put the headquarters in the Twin Towers. After it had already been attacked, and it was a stupid thing to do, and yet he's the hero of 9/11. This wise sage, Rudy Giuliani. I am so sick of it. I'm not enamored with many of the candidates for president of the United States, but my God, people. Look who's on that side of the fence right now. I know I must sound like a broken record. And I know we're having our own fight amongst ourselves right now about who we want to put in as the candidate. Whether it's going to be Dodd, whether it's going to be Richardson or Kucinich or Joe Biden or Obama or Hillary Clinton. Who have I forgotten? Edwards. And we'll continue to slug it out over that until one of them's chosen soon. And you know who I think's going to get it. I think it's inevitable. But whoever it is, do remember, no matter what differences you have with that Democratic candidate, do remember who they're running against. And for God's sake, you know, in my opinion, let's not have another incident like, I mean, you know, I'll just say it, and I know I'll piss people off by saying it. Take a look at what having a bunch of Democrats jump over to Ralph Nader, take a look at what that has done for the United States of America. Take a look at where we might be had we not had Ralph Nader on the ticket. If Al Gore had won the presidency outright, there would have been so many votes, I don't think they could have swung it in front of the Supreme Court and taken it away. Think of where we would be right now. So think about it, at least. Think about what the consequences might be. And I agree. You know, we hate this lesser of two evil things. We hate it. But don't forget who's looking at you on that Republican side of the fence. Just don't forget that. Going to pause for a quick break right now. We'll be back in just a moment or two, so don't go away.
You don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Back when progressives were fighting for a woman's right to vote,
and establishing national parks and trying to pass a new plan called Social Security. Conservatives fought them every step of the way. And today, as conservatives try to move us backwards, it's progressives who are working to protect pensions, provide health insurance for all, and achieve energy independence. America at its best. That's progressive. That's you.
Ah, 20 and a half minutes past the hour. Thank you for joining us here at the Guy James Show today. Glad to have all of you along with us. Did want to mention some of this, I don't know, what do you want to call it, good old boy stuff that's being passed around right now about Hillary Clinton. And I would address my comments to Chris Matthews and Glenn Beck and Tucker Carlson, probably especially. As you know, there's some things I'm definitely not enjoying about the present political campaign. Definitely not. Some of it's just sickening. I'm not happy with the debates. I'm not happy with the press. I'm not happy with this terrible infighting taking place within the Democratic Party, while the Republicans are still showing a modicum of unity, and they will continue to do so. But one thing I am enjoying is the handling of the gender issue. And as you know, Hillary Clinton is not my candidate. In fact, out of the seven on the stage at the last debate, she's probably my seventh choice. But I really am enjoying the desperation being shown by both the Democrats and Republicans alike because of the fact that she is a woman. Let's face it. How dare she run for the Oval Office? How dare she? Why, men have always run the Oval Office. Sure, we've allowed a few women in the upper levels of government, but please, not the White House. The chief executive, a woman? How can this be? After all, because, you know, God meant for women to be subservient to men. God meant for women to follow the lead of the men, to keep quiet, to clean, to cook, to raise the kids, do the shopping, attend the PTA meetings, drive the kids to school, fix the food for the guys' card parties and the football game gatherings. You know, she needs to do the laundry and sew on the missing buttons. Just stay out of the way until we guys need something or, you know, want a little boudoir action. Don't forget, the leading proponent of Rudy Giuliani, the revered intellectual giant Pat Robertson said, and let me quote him, "The feminist agenda is not about equal rights for women. It's about a socialist anti-family political movement that encourages women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, destroy capitalism, and become lesbians." That from the leading backer of Rudy Giuliani. And don't forget, just recently, the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the nation's largest Protestant decision-making body, added to its core teachings that a woman must be subject to her husband in all things. Plus, a woman is not to have authority over a man, a concept that could even now wreak havoc in the workplace. In marriage and family life, this is termed headship, with the husband's view prevailing no matter how ill-informed. Face it, a lot of men, both Democrats and Republicans, are loath to have a woman as president. They haven't yet realized that intellectually, the women are equal to us in many, many ways, psychologically stronger. That's something I didn't necessarily realize until I got a bit older, because when I was growing up, the women had to hide their strengths in order to play the roles that were set for them by the men. They had to, remain the quiet, demure June Cleaver type, seen but not heard. But gradually through the years, it became apparent to me that the gals are every bit the equal of men. And all the press is going nuts with this. Crazy. The hatred of Hillary has little to do with the fact that she's a Democrat. It has little to do with the fact that her name is Clinton. Even her platform isn't the problem with most of the guys who oppose her. It's the fact that she's a woman. A strong woman. Oh, God, how awful is that? What if she has a bad day and starts a war? How will the other world leaders look at us having a woman as our leader? What if it starts a trend and other women start running for high office? Oh, man, it's just going to get completely out of control. A few months back, I saw a great example of the frustration and the fear that I'm talking about here right now. The Senate Environmental Committee, and I know some of you remember this. It was a hoot. The Senate Environmental Committee was hearing testimony from Al Gore, and is the case every time the intellectually challenged senator from Oklahoma gets involved in any kind of discussion. He was massively overmatched by Gore. And Imhoff wasn't getting the answers he wanted from Gore. So he kept interrupting Gore and complaining about not having enough time to ask the questions he wanted to ask, as if anything that he would ask could make any sense, even to his Republican colleagues who have been observed rolling their eyes when he even opens his mouth. So after some back and forth between Al Gore and the idiot senator from Oklahoma, the new chairman of the committee, a woman for God's sake, Barbara Boxer, put her hand on Inhofe's arm and said, "I want to talk to you in a minute, please." And Boxer suggested that Inhofe give Gore time to answer his questions. And the mentally challenged senator from Oklahoma said, "Why don't we do this at the end and Gore can have all the time he wants to answer all the questions?" And Barbara Boxer then interrupted and said, "No, that isn't the rule. You're not making the rules. You used to. When you did this," she said while she was holding up the gavel, "elections have consequences, so I make the rules now." I loved it. Senator Boxer spoke with authority. She wasn't loud or angry, but without question, she was firm and she was in control. She left no doubt as to who was in charge of that room, and you could see the moron from Oklahoma doing a slow burn, not only because he had firmly been put in his place, but he'd been put there by a woman. Oh, God, no. A senator from Oklahoma, the Wild West, where women, how they're lucky they're able to vote there still. A woman had drawn a line in the sand right in front of him and the American public. What would Kit Carson and Matt Dillon and Wyatt Earp think? I don't know when I've enjoyed a political event more than that moment. It's the best one I've seen in a long, long time. First of all, I have nothing but utter contempt for Senator Imhoff. I'm stupefied that the people of Oklahoma don't collectively have any better sense than to send a dope like that to the United States Senate to supposedly mix in with actual intelligent leaders from the rest of the states. And secondly, that little episode set off a firestorm amongst the right-wing radio nuts like Michael Savage, who repeatedly refers to he calls her the foul-mouthed, foul-tempered woman in high places, bossing men around. He actually said that the image of Boxer giving Senator Inhofe orders would lead to more terrorist attacks. And of course, that's the thinking of the right-wingers. And Savage isn't the only one either. Little Tucker Carlson has described Hillary Clinton as castrating, overbearing, and scary. You know, come to think of it, I'll bet she is scary to a wimp like Carlson. He seems to have, like, one hand on his testicles when he's talking about powerful women. He's scared of losing them, or more likely after listening to this homophobic and misogynistic rants. He probably never had any in the first place. And Chris Matthews has wondered aloud on his show if Nancy Pelosi was going to castrate Steny Hoyer. This after Matthews has, and you've all seen this, he's openly had man-love relationship, TV relationship with Junior Bush. That's before Matthews discovered he was in the vast minority. And John McCain, oh, he loves John McCain, and he seems to have fallen into man love with Rudy Giuliani as well. But have you noticed how he gets a special glimmer in his eyes when he talks about Rudy? It seems to be some sort of big city, Philly, New York, we understand each other kind of thing. I think Matthews would bend over on a moment's notice in the middle of Times Square if Rudy asked him to. And his hatred of all things Hillary are just more than apparent, and he seems to just revel in his hatred for the Clintons. You know, whether or not you agree with him isn't important. It's just that he is taking advantage of his media presence to openly campaign against a Democratic candidate, and I don't like that, especially on a network where we get a fair shake now and then. But be ready, especially you gals, because if Hillary gets the nominations, you're going to see the right-wing media machine go absolutely nuts. Do remember that Hannity announced the very day after the last election in 2006 that he was starting a Stop Hillary campaign, and it's been building for a year, and it's going to get very, very vicious. There's going to be sexist rhetoric based on fear and anxiety, and already they've called her ambitious and calculated, like the men running for office don't all belong in that category, too. And we've got Glenn Beck calling her the stereotypical bitch. And Beck also said, after 4 years of Hillary, don't you think every man in America will go insane? I don't think it's any secret that women do better amongst Democrats. We're more broad-minded. John Kerry won the women's votes by 3 points. Bush won the men's votes by 11 points. And you can look for the Republican nominee to pound home the fact that he's a manly man and his opponent is just a woman. And there's no doubt in my mind that you'll hear a thinly veiled message that they'll put out saying that if you vote for a woman, then you must not be a real man. That'll be the undercurrent. Look closely for that one. And TV pundits who see themselves as manly men like Beck and Carlson and Matthews should buy themselves some special double stainless steel lined vulcanized mesh cod pieces to protect any goods they might have, because they're going to figure the likes of Hillary and her backers are out to emasculate them. But not to worry, guys. You can't lose what you never had in the first place. Ah, yes. Well, it's going to be interesting. We'll talk a lot about the Republican Party today and the tactics they use. Let's head over to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Sandra. I called you a while back, but I just couldn't resist when you were talking about that Inhofe boxer thing. Are you kidding me? That was like the best thing I'd seen in I don't know how long. I was like, what? I found it on YouTube and replayed it a few times because it was just, he is such an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Beyond. This man is foul, and I look upon Oklahoma really weirdly, and I'm like, well, what's happening down there?
Oh, yeah. How could that many people? I mean, I realize it's a sparsely populated state, but still you got Tulsa and Oklahoma City. How could you send a creep like that to the United States Senate? It's beyond me.
No, and he has done, you know, he's a U.S. senator regardless of how stupid he is, and the damage with his anti-climate attitude. It's just like, are you for, you know, it's just, you know, is he retiring? Is he going to run again?
Oh, I have no information that he's going to retire. I don't think so. And, you know, he's a guy that belongs, you know, with an animal skin on for clothing and a club over his shoulder. I mean,
yeah, no.
Right out of the cave. He's an idiot. And
he's the one with his, I don't have any gay people in my family. Is this the same guy?
I stand before you proudly saying there's never been a divorce or any gay people in my family.
Oh, God. Heaven help us with him. But, you know, another reason why I call is because I am not a Hillary fan, can't stand a woman, mainly because I can't deal with the monastic Clinton, Bush, Clinton hell. But I find the misogyny is just seeping out, and I'll vote for the woman just on the strength of that, because this country is so fake in its acceptance. It accepts no one. And when the power, when push comes to shove, they're going to freak out. They don't want a woman in that position. Jesus.
What's going to go on? You think about it. You got the German chancellor now. You got Golda Meir, you know, Indira Gandhi, Margaret Thatcher. What's wrong with these people?
Exactly. And it's just sort of, I think, regardless of Hillary, my doubts about her, just that psychological shift can't do anything but, you know, help this country, because God knows we need it. But my fear is that Giuliani will scoot in there some way, and that's why I got my passport together. For real.
you and I agree on that. We had Mark Green on the show last week, and he knows Giuliani. He said, if you've been scared by George Bush, just you wait.
No, and it's also, you know, I'm a black American. You know, I remember, you know, the disdain and brutality he showed black people in New York. I despise Giuliani. I think he's an unbelievable sort of fascist in the Mussolini mode, and I'm scared of him.
Out of everybody running, he scares me the most, absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't like what's backing him, the Pohoris guy and Fox, and they're all lining up. Put the final nail in the coffin of this country if he gets in there, don't you think?
It frightens me terribly to think that he could be the president. It does. It frightens me. I first of all, if he did get elected, I would lose all faith in the American people. I would.
Yeah, and also I think that's the only concern about Hillary is, you know, we all want these kind of social experiments. I mean, I do want, but I'm also sort of concerned about, well, damn, I prefer, you know, if we have to deal with Giuliani, I'd rather have, you know, Edwards or some other white man take up the slack for now if that's going to be the outcome. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so I'm torn because I enjoy to see Hillary sort of put it to these weird, especially these weird white men. But I do fear that when people go behind that voting booth, they're not going to vote for her or Obama. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. I do believe Hillary will end up with the nomination. That's what I think is going to happen. And If it does, but I just want everybody to be aware of why a significant portion of the population will vote against her, and it will be because she is a woman.
That's not all I wanted to say. You know, I'll just sign off and continue listening to your show.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, bye.
Good to hear from you. I believe that, and I think there's every reason to believe it. I think there's proof in the pudding, as they say. I've heard it over and over and over again, the thinly veiled references. And I believe that much of this hatred for Hillary Clinton does come from the fact that she is a woman. And I will stand here proud to say that I That makes no difference to me. It has never made any difference to me. I've known a lot of strong women in my life that have been every bit as capable as any of the men I've known in my life, and that is not a factor whatsoever. None. Now, go ahead and throw rocks if you like, but I don't think my liberal audience will throw rocks over that. I believe it's the conservatives that are the ones that are having a conniption over the fact that a woman might become president of the United States. Oh, God, no, please don't let that happen. I saw that crazy Phyllis Schlafly last night on the Catholic Channel. Yes, I was whipping by, and I saw Phyllis Schlafly there, and I couldn't resist listening to her insanity for a moment, you know. And she even alluded to the fact that, you know, well, you know, I don't know if America's ready for that or not. Hey, America is ready for it. I got news for you. America is ready for it. We are ready for a strong leader. It's got nothing to do with how we feel about Hillary Clinton. That's not what I'm discussing here. I'm discussing the fact that we are ready for a woman as president. We are ready for a black man as president. We are ready for a Hispanic as a president. We are ready. If we're not, we sure as hell should be. None of those three things should be any kind of an issue whatsoever in this election. None. I said a long time ago, that I dreaded the fact that Hillary Clinton was going to run for president. Not because I had any, any other candidate that I was favoring at the time or whatever. Just because of the crap that was going to fly through the air once she did run. And it's going to get mean. It's going to get, especially if it comes down to between her and Giuliani, it's going to, but she'll stand the heat. She'll stand the heat. There isn't any question about that, not in my mind, none at all. Hey, let's head back to the phones here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Phil in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. I have a different take on the objection to Hillary Clinton. I believe there's a lot of us who read that understand Hillary Clinton is the defense in the defense.
Oh, I'm not arguing that there are a lot of objections against Hillary Clinton. I'm not I'm not going to argue that point at all. My point is that the right are going after her, many of them, just because she's a woman. I mean, you know, you can go after somebody politically all you want to. I don't care. I mean, that's fine. That's what politics is all about. But they are going after her, many, many people. I've spoken to many people. So, well, you know, I don't think America's ready for a woman. I won't argue the point that her people have political differences with her. Of course they do.
Well, I think this is a I don't know if the right term is a red herring or a straw man argument, because if anything, we should be going after her for her war making, her being in bed. If you know, go to the Huffington Post people from last month and read how much money Hillary Clinton is getting from the armaments industry, much more than 60%, she's getting more than 50% going to all Democrats altogether, and she's getting 60% more than any, you know, than the Republicans all combined. Hillary was selected. She is the chosen one. She has been the chosen one. The torch is being passed to her. People our so-called representative government, Democrat and Republican, has been stolen from us. It no longer belongs to us. It belongs to that same
military. That's not the point here today, Phil. That's not the point. The point
is
a lot of people are going to vote against Hillary Clinton or any woman who runs for president strictly because she's a woman. And is that right or not?
I don't agree with that, Guy.
So you think it's all right to vote against somebody because they're a woman?
That's not what I'm saying. You said most people are going to vote.
No, I didn't say most people. I said a lot of people are going to vote against her, are going to vote against her because she's a woman, and it wouldn't make any difference her name was Eleanor Smith or Georgiana Brown, if she was black, white, or whatever. They will vote against her because she's a woman.
There's also going to be a lot of people that'll jump off the Empire State Building if George Bush told them to. You know, that ain't going to change. My point is that if Hillary Clinton...
Now, Phil, the point is here today...
Yes.
...is whether or not you ought to vote against somebody because they're a woman. I know people got political differences with her. I know that.
Well, I think we should give the full picture on Hillary Clinton.
They have the full picture on Hillary Clinton. Everybody's got the full picture. But the point that I'm discussing is, should you vote against somebody because she's a woman or not? Leave the name Hillary Clinton out of this. There's a lot of people who are going to vote against her because she's a woman. The good old boys, the hardcore right-wing conservatives, the evangelicals, they will vote against her because she's a woman, first and foremost.
So what? No, but do you see what I mean, guys? So what? It's like trying to make sense to these guys like down in your neck of the woods that no matter, you know, if George Bush killed his own mother right in front of them, they deny it. You know, so what? That ain't going to change, and it's probably the same people, too.
Oh, it is going to change, because, you know, Phil, one time women couldn't vote, and
yes,
that changed.
But what I'm trying to say is, man, I don't believe our listeners know what I just rattled off about what was reported in the Huffington Post. I don't believe the listeners have gone back to mainstream media, New York Times, CBS News, and how many of your listeners?
What are you saying, Phil? Are you saying she's worse than the Republicans?
I am not saying this.
All right, so coming down to you given a choice, you and I have gone over this before. If you've got a choice between her or Giuliani, who are you going to vote for?
I'm going to write in Dennis Kucinich.
Well, and we'll have another situation like we had with Ralph Nader.
And we'll also have a war with Iran. And we'll have our kids still getting killed.
Do you deny that Ralph Nader cost Al Gore the presidency? And that a whole bunch of Democrats jumped ship and went over to Ralph Nader. And yes, they satisfied their consciences. But because they did that, now have a war in Iraq and we have a government that's out of control.
What cost of what Al Gore the presidency was an illegal stopping of the vote in Florida.
But if he'd have had a couple of million more votes, that wouldn't have happened.
Well, if he fought it too instead of
if Ralph Nader hadn't been in that election, Al Gore would have walked off with that because the numbers would have been significant enough, in my opinion, that they wouldn't have been able to fight him, and Al Gore would have sat in the Oval Office. And because people went along with Ralph Nader, and I understand the deal about having a clear conscience, I understand that, but I think everybody needs to understand what that cost us.
You know what, guy? I think the fix, though, the fix is to I'll tell you what was wrong with that 2000 election, and you go back to Greg Pallister's reporting on it, which never made the U.S. media, is that there was a crime committed by Jeb Bush and what's her name?
Catherine Harris.
Catherine Harris, and the Supreme Court the U.S. Supreme Court had no business stopping the Florida recount. Now, that is a crime. That is the fix, guy, not getting people to change their votes. That is the fix. You fix what's broken in the system.
I understand all that.
That's where the
But I am telling you this: if Ralph Nader had not been in the last election, I firmly believe, and so do a lot of other people, that Al Gore would have been sitting in the White House. That he would have had enough votes that they wouldn't have been able to overcome the 538 votes that they did here in Florida. There would have been enough votes there. They wouldn't have been able to do that. Ralph Nader cost the American people the presidency of Al Gore. There is little question about that.
And everybody and this daggone Congress has kept this illegal war and occupation.
I know that, but look what we gave up. Look what we gave up when a bunch of Democrats, and that's who it was, swung over so they could have a clear conscience and not vote for the I'm not saying you have to do this, but because a bunch of people wanted to have a clear conscience and say, I can't vote for you, I'm going to go for Ralph Nader, look what that has cost this country.
I don't believe that's the reason, guy.
Oh.
I believe the reason why Gore lost was what Greg Palast revealed.
Absolutely
in
not.
His
Greg
book.
Palast is full of it up to his ears on that. I've talked to him about it. If you took the votes from Ralph Nader and put them over to Al Gore, there would not have been that Supreme Court ruling in the first place. They wouldn't have been able to pull it off.
But right now that's not what I wanted to address.
It's not what I wanted to address either. I wanted to address our people voting against Hillary Clinton because she's a woman.
You know, guy, the way that's framed, it sounds like we have to vote. That's our only choice.
It's not our only choice, but if it is our choice, is it the right thing to do to vote against somebody because she's a woman? That's the point.
You vote for who you want to vote for. And if your thing is you don't want a woman in there, then you're being true to your vote. One man, one vote.
And you're being an idiot.
Well, there's a lot of effing idiots.
There are. And that's my point. That's my point.
And that's America. America is, you're free to be an idiot.
Obviously.
I mean, it's true, guy. And we're losing America, man. That's my point. We're losing America. You know, I sent you a thing about Code Pink. There was a Code Pink person who stood up at a Hillary Clinton fundraiser this weekend, and I sent you the link to it, guy. and they were hauled out by the cops. You know, here's our First Amendment right to speech, right? And Hillary had them gotten rid of, and Fox News, and I sent you the link to this. Fox News was indicating that Code Pink and anyone who speaks up should be tased. Okay,
What's that got to do with my point about whether they should vote against somebody because she's a woman or not?
I addressed that guy. I answered that. I said, because this is America, one man, one vote, one person, one vote, if the person feels that they don't want to vote for Hillary for whatever reason, just, you know, it may be they don't want a woman in there, then they should have the right to do that, and we're losing our rights, for crying out loud. I'm talking about the serious nature we're in right now, man. When you got people talking about being tased.
I know, Phil, but here's the point. I understand people's feelings about Hillary Clinton. I have many of them myself, and I'm not sitting here defending the record of Hillary Clinton. But if it comes down to the point where I'm going to go in the voting booth and vote, and I've got a woman on one side that has voted with the Democrats about 75% of the time, which isn't a great record, but she's voted with the Democrats about 75% of the time on all things that have come up for a vote, or I'm going to vote for a goddamn Republican that hasn't voted with them once. There is no question what I'm going to do. Nothing. Zero.
And that's what you're supposed to do, guy. You're supposed to vote.
That's my whole point here. That's my whole point. What are you going to do if it comes down and Hillary Clinton gets the nomination? Are you going to vote?
I answered you.
Are you?
I answered you. I said I would write in Dennis Kucinich.
And what have you accomplished by doing that?
I've actually exercised
except help the Republicans.
My right of free choice.
I know you have, but what have you accomplished by doing that, as many people did for Ralph Nader, except to help the Republican candidate get into office and to screw us again?
No, I voted for who I wanted to vote for president. That's
I know that, but what have you accomplished in the broad scheme of things? What did the Naderites accomplish in the last election but hand it to George Bush?
Well, anyway, guy, I answered your question. I would write in.
And I'm asking you a legitimate question, Phil. What would you accomplish by that?
I would feel that I accomplished being true to my who I wanted for president. I exercised my right to vote the way I want to vote, uninfluenced.
Okay.
You see,
don't feel you would be helping the Republican candidate by doing that.
To me, guy, it ain't about Republican, Democrat, because we're stuck in this stupid thing. You got to tell these people, guy, that Hillary is yet to vote against continued funding of this occupation. You
Phil,
gotta tell her that
Phil,
Rupert
on my website, it says that I am a liberal Democrat.
Right, but
and I will vote for the Democratic candidate come hell or high water, and I know they're not perfect, and I know they don't do all the things they want. I know they represent big money just like the Republicans do. We've got a one-party system with two different names, but I'm trying to get the Democrats back to being what they should be. And given the choice between a Democrat and a Republican, I'll always vote for the Democrat and never for a third party, because by voting for a third party, I will be helping put that son of a bitch Republican in the office, and I will not do it.
I know that, and you've said that. What I'm saying is we've got to inform the American people. We've got to give them the full picture.
If they don't have the full picture by now, I don't know.
How many of your listeners, I wish you could, you know, you got that chat room going. I hope that there's the chat room, if you're into it, man, why don't we do a survey? How many people in this chat room knew everything that I just said about the defense contractors funding of Hillary, the fact that she has yet to vote against any continued funding of this occupation of Iraq? Also, did you all know, you know, and I'm not saying one way or another how to vote. I'm just, I'm just putting facts out.
I
don't get from the media.
Phil, we've all have the facts available to us nowadays.
What,
we do.
Yeah, on page A17 of March 6, 2007 in the New York Times, the so-called paper of record, which lied to this country so we could invade Iraq. Take a survey, guy. How many people in your chat room knew what I just said?
Well, I also know that I also am sticking by what I said, that we wouldn't be in Iraq if it weren't for Ralph Nader. And we wouldn't be in Iraq. We would not be in Iraq if it hadn't been for a bunch of Democrats swinging over and voting for Ralph Nader. We would not be there.
We wouldn't be in Iraq if the people who were in Congress in 2002, the fall of 2002, when there was still a Democratic majority.
They got suckered, just like a lot of the American people got suckered.
You can't blame that on Ralph Nader. You got to blame it on the people who were in Congress at that time and cast those votes. Those are the people who allowed Bush to go in Iraq.
We wouldn't have had that vote.
They were a Democratic majority.
We wouldn't have had that vote if Ralph Nader hadn't run for president.
But the point is, Ralph Nader, you have to put it on the people who were there at the time, guy. They're the ones who voted, and they're the ones that the American people, sitting down watching television, did not put enough heat on and did not hold accountable. And here we are in 2007 with almost 4,000 GIs dead, right? And we've got over a million Iraqis dead in our name. Because of us, the whole world's waiting on the American people, and we've got Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Edwards, all saying that they wouldn't have the troops out before 2013. We got Hillary Clinton saying she is open to attacking Iran and will not take nuclear weapons off the table. We got a Democratic leadership that's totally sold out to AIPAC in the military-industrial complex and has taken impeachment off.
Bill, we know all that.
But my point...
We know all that, Phil.
That's got nothing to do with Ralph Nader, is my point.
I'm saying we wouldn't have had a vote had we not done this the last time and not had Ralph Nader run for president. We would never have even had that vote. We have to go back to the source of the problem, and that is the source of the problem. Ralph Nader ran for president on vanity like he always did. Ralph Nader's I can't tell you the contempt I have for Ralph Nader. He's got no more interest in having the presidency of the United States than a man in the moon. He cost Al Gore that nomination, that election, and I put that right on his plate along with the people that went along with him and helped put George Bush in the White House. I will never forgive him for that. They're responsible for this war.
No, the people.
Well, they are. You take his votes.
The people that continue to fund this daggone thing are responsible for it.
Phil, I'm not going to argue about it anymore, Phil. I got to go for the news. Thank you. I'm going to stand by what I said. If Ralph Nader had not run for the presidency, the Republicans would not have been able to pull off that rape they did in Florida, because it wouldn't have been so close that they could get away with it. Yes, they had it set up so that they could pull that off in the case of a close election. If Ralph Nader had not run for the president, it wouldn't have been a close election. Ralph Nader is responsible that we even had a vote on that war in the first place. And everybody that jumped ship, is thinking about jumping a ship again this time, will help put a son of a bitch like Rudy Giuliani back in the White House. Think about it. Think about it. Would you rather vote for somebody that was been with you 60, 75% of the time, or would you rather vote for somebody that was never with you on anything? You accomplish nothing by writing in a third place candidate. I understand why you do it, but you accomplish nothing except to help put a Republican in the White House. And that'll be the result again if that happens. I promise you that. And I have donated to the Dennis Kucinich campaign and to no others, I'll have you know. But that's the way I feel. Well, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. Don't go away. We'll be back. You're listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Phnom Penh, the first hearing in the UN-backed war crimes tribunal began. The head of Pol Pot's largest and most notorious torture center testified today in the long-delayed first public hearing. The Khmer Rouge regime from 1975 to 1979 is blamed for the deaths of some 1.7 million from starvation, overwork, and execution. In Bangladesh, rescue workers trying to deliver food and fresh water to victims of last week's cyclone have been hampered by poor communication and the remote nature of the affected areas. Officials fear more could perish from the lack of water and food. Over 3,500 died in the deadly storm, with estimates of the final death toll reaching 10,000. The U.S. military says it will file a criminal complaint against an Iraqi photographer employed by the Associated Press. The U.S. refuses to discuss the case except to say it thinks the 36-year-old Iraqi national is linked to insurgents. In France, civil servants, teachers, and hospital staff will join striking transit workers for a day to protest government reforms. Although civil servants and transit workers have different demands, together they serve as the biggest test for French President Nicolas Sarkozy. The nationwide strike, now in its seventh day, is costing France around $500 million daily. Several Blackwater security guards have been subpoenaed by a federal grand jury as part of a new investigation into the shooting deaths of 17 Iraqis. It is the latest investigation of the September incident. Last week, the FBI determined 14 of those deaths were unjustified. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear whether the District of Columbia's ban on handgun ownership is a constitutional violation. At issue is whether or not the Second Amendment bestows collective or individual ownership. A decision could come by late June. Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick has surrendered 3 weeks early to U.S. Marshals. Vick pleaded guilty in August to federal dogfighting conspiracy charges. It's unclear whether or not the early surrender will soften his sentence. The California Supreme Court is seeking changes in the automatic appeals process for death penalty trials. Justices want state appeals courts to hear many of the cases that cause logjams on the high court's docket. The Massachusetts Education Department admitted it violated a former teacher's free speech rights and agreed to pay him $187,000. The department canceled the teacher's scheduled lecture at a state conference because he criticized standardized testing. The actor who for 21 years and 500 commercials urged customers not to squeeze the Charmin has died. Dick Wilson was 91. This is the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping. Charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Scientists say they know how to use skin cells for cloning without using the more controversial embryonic stem cells. The research published in two landmark papers released online is groundbreaking, but does come with a caveat. The technique used can cause cancer as a byproduct. Researchers have identified structural differences in the cortex of people's brains that suffer from migraine headaches. Neurologists, however, are not sure whether the differences cause migraines or the migraines cause the differences. The UN today has reduced the number of people living with AIDS by about 7 million. Better data and improved information, as well as revised numbers from India, saw the number of those infected reduced from nearly 40 million to just below 33 million. Secretary of Transportation Mary Peters is recommending new school buses be equipped with higher seat backs and seat belts to improve safety. Peters did stop short, though, of saying those features should be required. Freddie Mac, the nation's second buyer of home loans, saw shares drop 26% on news it lost $2 million in the third quarter. It's the largest quarterly drop for the loan guarantor, who will now have to raise fresh capital to meet regulatory requirements. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $96.95 a barrel. Gold is currently trading at $791.50 an ounce. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 1 point, the Nasdaq is trading flat, and the S&P 500 is up one. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
Switch!
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
All right. Hey, we're back. Thanks for joining us here in the Guy James Show. Proud member of the Head On Radio Network. And, of course, Billy Shears, music director. Thanks to everybody joining us in the Head On Radio Network chat room. You know, I know a lot of you that are listening with iTunes and other places around the Internet have not visited the Head On Radio Network chat room. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Go over there, sign up. You don't have to pay anything. I mean, it's simple. Bang, zoom, you get signed in. Join us in the chat room. I'm usually on there during the show. I know Bob's usually on there during his show. You might catch Mark. You might catch Peter. You might, you know, John. You can catch lots of the Head On Radio Network hosts on there. And the regulars, we got Elo and Randy D and Suzanne and Billy Shears and Corey Stone and just a whole gang on there now. So join us. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and sign up. It only takes a moment and they'll get you on there. Someone, thanks to, I want to send thanks out to Harold. Harold for sending me this picture. You all know about my football affiliation. And when I still lived in Ohio, I always attended the Ohio State-Michigan game every year, and even when it was up at, you know, that town up north of Toledo. And right after you get through Toledo, right after you get through there, there's a little suburb of Toledo called Sylvania, and then you cross the border into Meat Chicken. And there's a sign, you know, across the road, like there is in all the states that you go into, and it says, "Welcome to Meat Chicken." Big blue sign across the interstate, you know. And Harold sent me this, and it says, "Welcome to Meat Chicken," and right underneath it, it says, "Property of Jim Tressel." I love this. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to put that on my OSU wall. I do love it. Oh, yeah. Okay, now away from the football. Well, what is it? What is it beside the political things we don't like? And there are many. I certainly agree with Phil on that. There are many things that we don't agree with Hillary Clinton. I'm speaking for myself. There are many things I don't agree with Hillary Clinton on politically. Many things. Many. And that's why she's not my candidate, and that's why I said she's seventh out of the seven that are up here on the stage. But I knew this whole thing would bring out the fangs from the Republicans, and it's not good enough that they have a vendetta against her. They're going to fight to the death over political issues, and they will, and that's fine. That's all well and good. But this Brent Bozell has got this new book out, Whitewash. And let me just read you a little bit. I yanked off the internet here. Where did I get this? MRC.org books. Amid all the discussion of Hillary Rodham Clinton's presidential prospects, the single most important question is ignored. Why Hillary? Why did she become a presidential front runner despite her never having held elective office before she ran for the Senate? Now, let's just stop and Bozell wrote that. Let's just stop and take a look at that that sentence right there. How did she become a presidential frontrunner despite her never having held elective office before she ran for the Senate? Brent, how did Junior Bush become a presidential frontrunner despite never having held elective office before he ran for the governorship of Texas? How does that work? Huckabee? Just about, you know, John McCain, Rudy Giuliani. He held a couple of offices. What an idiotic statement that is. Just plain stupid. And it says the answer is that she has a secret weapon: the news media. Ah, yes. I think we can all tell the news media is really backing Hillary Clinton. Don't make me laugh. In whitewash, Brent Bozell III and Tim Graham and the Media Research Center, America's largest and most respected media watchdog. Now, there you go. That's tooting your own horn. Organization exposed the unprecedented media favoritism that is the real key to Hillary's political career. Unprecedented media favoritism. Now, that's been real evident the past couple of weeks, hasn't it, since the driver's license debacle in the debate before last? Yeah, the media's been real damn kind and real supportive of Hillary Clinton, right? Don't make me laugh. You know, that's one of the dumbest things. To say that the media is on her side is just plain idiotic. Just plain absolutely idiotic. So the authors of the book show how the media have relentlessly promoted Hillary from the moment in 1992 when Time magazine introduced her to the country as an amalgam of Betty Crocker, Mother Teresa, and Oliver Wendell Holmes. Ah, yes. Said this book, Whitewash, reveals how Hillary's media allies have rushed to pronounce her unbeatable and inevitable to counter Barack Obama's unexpectedly strong campaign. Also, whitewash reveals how the frequent claim that no one else has been more investigated than Hillary Clinton is just not correct, but utterly absurd. Well, I will say that that claim that no one has been more investigated than Hillary Clinton is wrong. I will admit that right now. That claim is wrong. Because there is one other person that has been more investigated than her, and that would be her husband, Bill Clinton. Other than that, I think she runs a strong second, and I don't think there's anybody close to either one of them as far as being investigated. So forget about trying to dig any more dish there. There isn't any to dig. How the media's Obama mania is nothing compared to the 15-plus years of cheerleading for Hillary. Am I crazy? Have I not been watching the same media as these people? Or, once again, are they just trying to do the big lie deal on us here and have us believe that the media is liberal and it's all single-handedly getting Hillary Clinton in there? And also, the book Whitewash says the Republican congressman who says the Clintons went after him mercilessly for daring to investigate Hillary scandals. So I don't know who that is. And the book Whitewash says how liberal reporters and female liberal reporters especially have ignored Mrs. Clinton's record in order to hail her as a feminist pioneer. And the book Whitewash says no political figure in America today has benefited more from a water-carrying media than Hillary Rodham Clinton. Au contraire. I seem to remember that after the last election was over, and one Mr. Drug Junkie Rush Limbaugh was livid the following day upon hearing that the Republicans had lost their majority in the House and the Senate, I seem to remember Drug Junkie Limbaugh himself saying that he was no longer, and these are his words, no longer going to carry the water for the Bush administration, end quote. And this says here that they've been carrying the water for Hillary Clinton, when Rushy himself admitted that he carried it for the Bush administration. It says the book Whitewash put out the press. It says the national press long ago abandoned its responsibilities to seek out the truth. Fortunately, Brent Bozell and Tim Graham have stepped in to fill that void and to show whether this media phenomenon is fit to be president. Well, well, well. As I've said many times, out of the seven left, she is my seventh choice. But I will not step over the line and help a Republican get elected. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. You know, I couldn't have a lower opinion of John McCain. And I, as you know, if you've listened to the show for the last, coming up on our 50th anniversary here, coming up in just a couple of weeks, if you've listened to the show all that time, you know that my opinion of John McCain has changed gradually and drastically over the years. And you also know that at this time, I couldn't have a lower opinion of John McCain. And even I'm surprised by this. I always have to laugh when anybody calls John McCain a maverick. And they do, after he nearly got down on his knees in service, but Bush Monica style in New Hampshire during the last election. And you all remember that, him standing up there with his arms around Bush. I mean, the guy's got no shame at all. No shame. And he's running for the presidency, and I could never dream of voting for anybody that acted like this. He's up there with his arms around Bush. Here's a guy that was embracing, and I do mean embracing, the guy whose political operatives called McCain's own wife a junkie and said that his adopted daughter was illegitimate. He lost all the honor he might have had before that, in my opinion. And John, I think John Boy McCain has sunk to a new low. And I think you probably know what I'm talking about by now. You talk about sinking to a new low. Presidential hopeful John McCain said Monday he doesn't hold grudges and indicated he would accept campaign help from Karl Rove. You heard that right. He said he would accept campaign help from Karl Rove, the architect of then-Texas Governor George Bush's 2000 triumph that dashed McCain's presidential hopes 7 years ago and went after him in South Carolina with a vengeance with the most filthy lies that you can imagine. And now he says he doesn't. You know, I know the term selling your soul to the devil is almost worn out, but I can't think of a better fit for it right now than for John McCain. Absolutely not. Don't hold grudges? Well, I do. I try not to. But I don't know. I don't know how you could be John McCain and go through what he went through in the Republican primary in South Carolina last time around against George Bush and have his name and his wife's name and his child's name dragged through the mud and then say that he would accept help from the guy who did it, from the guy who directed that campaign. How could you? How could you say that about Karl Rove if you're John McCain? I just don't understand. I do not understand how anybody could have their family trashed that way and then go back and say, that's okay, help me out. That shows you what kind of people that are sitting over there on the other side. We already know that Romney is a chameleon. Of course, chameleon, politician, what's the difference? He's willing to say anything and be anything in order to be the president of the United States. We all already know Romney's there. We all already know that Fred Thompson, despite being the darling of the Southern Baptist, many of the Southern Baptists lobbied on behalf of a pro-choice group, and that's okay with them. People are willing to sell their souls time after time after time. It fascinates me. It really does. And I think, you know, this Republican Party, and by the way, you can give us a call, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. You know, in a lot of ways, we are dealing with one political party in this country. And it's tough for us right now. And we've got to push them apart again. And that's what I'm about politically. That is what I'm about. I fully realize and recognize the faults within the Democratic Party right now. Don't think that I don't. I hate the fact that they've become a corporate-owned party just like the Republicans have. I hate that. It never used to be that way. Oh, yes, there's always been elements of it, but that was not the foundation of the Democratic Party. There wasn't the corporate influence the way there is now. There was the working man influence years ago, and now it is a corporate influence, and I regret that. And I pledge to do all I can to change that before I get old and gray. my eventual demise, I will work to try and take the party back to its roots. And that's what I'm about. That's what this show is about. And yes, I am a liberal Democrat, and I will remain so. But we have broken it down to where the point where, you know, to the point where we have just one political party with two different names in many, many respects. Not all. But the money. You know, it's not about Republicans versus Democrats all the time. And make no mistake about it. I know damn well that the Republicans do a better job of taking money than the Democrats. But that doesn't mean the Democrats, most of them, don't have their hands out as well to the corporatist. You know, the way the politicians look at it, taking the money nowadays, why not take it? Is it legal to take it? Why not take it? There's no conspiracy involved in it or anything like that. It's right up front. Follow the money. I have some stats here. I don't know where they are. I do remember the outline of it, at least, that 1% of Americans hold 1/3 of all the wealth in this country. 1%. And the top 10% hold over 70% of the wealth. And the bottom 40% of Americans control only 0.3%. You know, it's a story that may never change. It's been around with us since politics began, and it may always be there. It's just the degree of it right now that's so disgusting. As soon as the Republicans get knocked completely out of power, and they will, K Street will become infested with Democrats taking the money. I mean, that's just how it is. That is just how it is. And, you know, the money is corrupting. And we'll talk about that tomorrow, about how we put the party back on track, how we get it back to its roots and what it ought to be. And the money. Did you see that story about Goldman Sachs? Goldman Sachs making money hand over fist. But anyway, they said the industry is going to suffer $148 billion total losses. And right now they've only announced about $40 billion, so they've got another $108 billion in write-downs over the next several quarters. And the scary part is the house prices have 13 to 14% to fall from current levels after they've already dropped. At least that's only 13 to 14% or so. You can handle that. But here's the rub. 8 states for which there's greater than 30% house price depreciation forecast would be California, Florida, Arizona, Nevada, Virginia, New Jersey, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. Well, it says 8 states. That's not a state. So all of you homeowners do remember that except for the value of your home dropping through the floor, there really are some other things to be thankful for this week, especially those of you whose home values have dropped below your mortgage payoff. Do remember that maybe next Thanksgiving you might not have to go to the trouble of cooking a big Thanksgiving meal next, you know, because you might not have a kitchen left and wish to do it. Always look at the bright side of things. We got some hard times ahead. I think. I think we have some very hard times ahead. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes.
Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. We celebrate Thanksgiving this week, and as we gather around our respective fowl of choice, We'll, of course, be giving thanks to the troops. But there's another group of fighters in Iraq that we often overlook in our thoughts and prayers. Hard-working soldiers for hire from Halliburton, Blackwater, and other for-profit corporations who make a sacrifice for our country no less than our other soldiers. They risk life and limb on the battlefield, yet the only thank you they get is a massive government contract, only 2 to 3 times the payment we give our other soldiers. This Thanksgiving, say a prayer for those mercenaries who put their lives on the line every day, shooting at anything that moves. I ask all Americans to put not only a I Support Our Troops bumper sticker on your cars and trucks, but an I Heart Our Private Contractor sticker on there as well. My wife Laura, the First Lady, has helped me start and adopt a private contractor program where you can send care packages of cash to these overlooked heroes. Just $10,000 will buy them much-needed rocket launchers to fire into villages. This holiday season, give both thanks and a generous donation, won't you? Thank you for listening. God bless you, and God bless our private contractors.
Ah, yes, a message from your president, the honorable, actually dishonorable, Junior Bush from Texas, I guess. He said he is from Texas anyway. You know, it's a funny thing. A lot of people from Texas do claim Junior Bush, and then you get out to the good old boys out in the country. The hell no, he's no Texan. No, he's no Texan. Anyway, hey, I want to make something clear. I got an avalanche here on my hands of email through the break and through the news at the top of the hour and all that, and talking about this deal with Ralph Nader and all. Let me make myself perfectly clear. I didn't mean to imply that Nader's the only reason that Al Gore didn't get elected. I think he's the main reason, without question. He's the main reason in my mind. The second would be choosing Joe Lieberman as vice president. I think that was devastating. I think it's the main reason he lost his own state. I was picking Lieberman. So I do want to make that clear. Nader wasn't the sole reason. And hey, and Al Gore didn't exactly run the best campaign in the world either. I'm just saying, you take the votes away and add them on. I still don't think they could have got away with cheating them out of it if the numbers were much greater. But, and it's been brought up to me that the people might say, well, look, you would have Joe Lieberman in the in there right now. I don't think so. I think the public would have wised up to him, and Al Gore would have stayed. Oh, God. You know, that's a terrible thought, Joe Lieberman running for the presidency. Don't think he could ever get elected. Enough Democrats hate him, and enough Republicans hate him because he's a Republican, because he's has been or is or was a Democrat, whatever Joe Lieberman is, I don't know. Anyway, I heard Matthews say last night that the talk has always been, was it Matthews that said it? No, it wasn't Matthews. It was somebody else that he has had as a guest, and I can't remember who it was. Said the talk has always been in the halls of Congress that the Democrats in office don't worry that much about the far left because they've got no place else to go with the Democratic Party, and they may have a point. I don't know where else you do go. Who knows? Anyway, so much for that. 866-546-5254. I see that Ahmadinejad and Hugo Chavez, a couple of great guys there, are starting to talk about getting a credible hard currency for the oil. They said Ahmadinejad said they get our oil and give us a worthless piece of paper, referring to the American dollar. All participating leaders showed an interest in changing their hard currency reserves to a credible hard currency. This is OPEC we're talking about. And, you know, it's been rumored for some time now that OPEC may change to something else in the way of currency. Some of the other statements by those two at the OPEC summit last weekend were over the top as usual, but the ones above that I just mentioned there reflect the main geopolitical theme of I wonder. And it's, you know, you got Ahmadinejad and Chavez are incendiary, and they're they're as threatening to as anything with this money thing. That's as threatening as anything to do with any nuclear program. And it's, let's face it, it's a sad time indeed when Ben Bernanke, the new Fed chair, credibility shot, can't even speak about our money situation without getting laughed at it at the financial circles around the world. So I think we've got a big problem coming up there. If OPEC does change and gets away from the dollar, we will have a serious problem on our hand. 866-546-5254. Just looking over some of the other notes we got there. Okay, I better not answer that one. they wouldn't like my answer. All right, let's move on to something else. Hey, I did see something funny in the news yesterday, and I don't know how fun it'll show you how what a warped sense of humor I have. And really, it's not funny, but kind of weird. A Chinese man accidentally killed himself and five others last week when he mistook a packet of rat poison for flour while he was making rice dumplings. The Shanghai Daily newspaper reports the tragic event was triggered when the man discovered the dough he was using to make the dumpling was too watery, and he decided to add more rice flour. Investigators say he inadvertently grabbed rat poison that had been placed alongside other baking items and mixed it into the dough. The newspaper said the dead man sold rat poison as a business and often placed the deadly packets in his kitchen when he came home. Well, now that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Man, he put rat poison in the kitchen. I've heard of bringing your work home with you, but geez, that's you know, I got to thinking the cook sold rat poison for a living, and he couldn't tell the difference between that stuff and the flour. Either he wasn't a very good cook or not a very good salesman. I don't know, but kind of an untimely end there. Oh boy, that makes you anybody that was going to have Chinese for dinner tonight going to change your mind over that deal, right? And also in the news, I think this is a big thing, and we're probably going to have a lot of fun with this in the next few days. Former White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan, and I just figured that this would be coming out sooner or later. I just figured that sooner or later McClellan might have the cojones to tell the truth about things. He's going to publish a memoir in April titled, quote, What Happened? In an excerpt posted by his publisher, McClellan implicates the president himself in the Valerie Plame scandal. And let me quote this. It said, the most powerful leader in the world had called upon me to speak on his behalf and help restore credibility that he'd lost amid the failure to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So I stood at the White House briefing room podium in front of the glare of the Klieg lights for the better part of 2 weeks, and publicly exonerated two of the senior-most aides in the White House, Karl Rove and Scooter Libby. There was one problem, says McClellan. It was not true. He goes on to say, I had unknowingly passed along false information, and five of the highest-ranking officials in the administration were involved in my doing so. Rove, Libby, the vice president, the president's chief of staff, and the president himself. End quote. McClellan, who orchestrated the White House's stonewalling of the investigation into the leak, later said he was lied to by those directly involved. Well, love to have a drink with that fellow and find out how he feels about all this now. Is he letting the truth out finally just to sell a book? Is his conscience getting the best of him? What is it exactly, do you think, that came across Scott McClellan? Is his conscience bothering him? I don't know. And Junior Bush's new ratings are out. It's just like clockwork when the Washington Post and the U.S. News decide Junior's prime for a comeback, and they've been saying that lately. Gallup comes out with a new poll showing we still despise him as much as we ever have. And I'll speak for myself. I despise him. You might just dislike him. I despise him. The Gallup poll says Bush's job approval ratings have shown little change in the past 2 months. 32% of Americans now say they approve of the job he's doing as president, and 61% disapprove. And over the course of the year, Bush's approval ratings have been fairly stable, averaging 34%, and fluctuating between a high of 38% in April and his administration's low point of 29% in July. Bush's approval rating is higher among men than among women. Told you the women are smarter than we are. Among frequent churchgoers, his approval ratings are higher than among those who seldom or never attend religious service. I think we could have predicted that. Bush's approval rating is higher amongst those living in the South than those living elsewhere. Well, now, I think we could have predicted that one as well. And his approval ratings are higher among those in higher income than those in the lower income household, and among whites, among blacks. And there are only minor variations in Bush's approval ratings by age and education. And amongst African Americans, he has an 8% approval. 8%. And an 89% disapproval. I guess that would be Armstrong Williams and two of his cousins that like him. And what's that guy that writes in our paper? Can't think of his name right now. Anyway, Junior's ratings, nothing to write home about. Never will be again. I think he's going to, he's going to have a rough time of it the rest of his life in history. The history is not going to be kind to this this Junior Bush. And I see we've had a, what do you want to call it? Resignation, I guess, although she's calling it something different, having struggled with the decision, talking about it with the president for months. Frances Fregos Townsend has, with a profound sense of gratitude, she says, decided to take a respite from public service. The Associated Press described Townsend as the leading White House-based terrorism advisor, who gave public updates on the extent of the threat to U.S. security. Her most classic moment in this role came last December, and I know you all remember this, on CNN in an exchange with Ed Henry, their White House correspondent. Henry said, you know, going back to September 2001, the president said, dead or alive, we're going to get him. We still don't have him. I know you are saying there's successes on the war on terror, and there have been, but that's a failure. And Townsend said, and I love the parsing here, I don't think there's ever been a better one. Well, I'm not sure. It's a success that hasn't occurred yet. I don't know that I view that as a failure. A success that hasn't occurred yet. That's a good one. Anyway, that's Dana Perino. After Tony Snow resigned, have they just thrown in the towel with a press secretary? Is that it? Have they just... I just thrown in the towel and said, oh, hell, we'll just keep her on. We might as well not throw, you know, we're in such a hole, we can't get out of it anyway. Tony Snow's gone. Who gives a damn who the press secretary is? And let's just keep Dana Perino on there. She's a nice little girl. And I mean, she's the worst press secretary that I've ever seen in Washington. How about you? You feel the same way? I think she's absolutely the worst that we've ever had. Oh, well. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
A perfect day. The sun is sinking. As evening falls, the gentle breezes blow. The time we shared went by so fast, just like a dream. We knew it couldn't last, but I'd do it all again. I must be leaving soon. It's your world now. setting sun. No sad goodbyes, no tears allowed. You'll be all right. It's your world now.
we're back. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. 10 minutes before the hour, actually 9 and a half. You've got plenty of time to call. 866-546-5254. Love to have you join the program today and every day that we're on. 866-546-5254. And if you've got an unlimited calling plan, want to use your nickel, 941-876-6896 will do nicely as well. We're talking about crazy Republican candidates for president of the United States, people that would scare you, and were they sitting in the Oval Office. And I've, of course, I've expressed my views on Rudy Giuliani, and you will hear me express them from now until the election next year, I'm sure. I'm fairly sure he's going to get the nomination. We'll see. That's kind of up in the air yet. But he scares me. Fred Thompson scares me. For sure, Romney scares me. But Huckabee. Now, Huckabee is a nut. I know he's coming across as the nice guy. Huckabee is a nut. Do you know that he's trying to convince us that he's Jesus Christ? Did you hear him do that this weekend? He was on Fox News Sunday and did an interview with Chris Wallace, and Wallace asked him, Wallace said to him, hey, you've got about $1 million, and Governor Romney's got about $10 million, and at last count you had 10 staffers in Iowa, and he had about 60. How are you making a race of this? And Huckabee says, well, you know, the same way the little boy fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 biscuits, we've just got a lot of people praying that what little we have will turn into much, and it has. I think right there Huckabee did equate himself with Jesus Christ, and so you go look up in the Bible, and it says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they had eaten, were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And so Mike Huckabee now figures that he's done the same thing in Iowa, and that kind of just bothers me a little bit to think Mikey's thinking he's doing the same thing as Jesus did when he fed the multitudes. Quite a story there, Mikey. Hey, let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Well, Guy, your old buddy Dave from Northern California.
Hi, Dave.
I'd like to try to take up a little bit from where Phil left off, because I think he was making a valid point, my point, very much. I believe that the federal high-tech folks so abuse their powers, they so invade where they have no business invading. Right now what they're doing is rigging polls, and they are trying so much to make us believe that we want Hillary. You know, all these polls coming out saying that I don't know hardly a soul that was choosing Hillary. When they run big polls on the big radio shows, percentage beats Hillary 25-1. So we're being deceived, and they got a two-step plan. They plan to flip their votes all over the place during the primary. They plan to give us Hillary, and then they plan to have another general election, which they're going to say, oh, I guess America just wasn't ready for a woman. This is their two-step plan. So I do believe every one of us should use an absentee ballot. Every one of us should write in Kucinich. You know, they'll try to rig that too, but in the end, there will be the paper, and we can count it. Well, they'll say, too late. It's already been certified. We've got another neocon in office. But
well, Dave, you know Kucinich is my candidate. I endorsed him in the last election, and I do so again this time. But I can tell you this. I live in the what I like to call the heart of darkness here, Republican territory. And I know for a fact that this past Saturday morning, there was a poll taken amongst Democrats at a large Democratic meeting here locally. And I can tell you that Hillary Clinton ended up with 75% of the vote. And there was one vote out of the entire group for Dennis Kucinich. One for Biden, one for Kucinich. I think Dodd got one, and 75% of the votes for Hillary Clinton.
This
is a fact. So I don't know if they're able to manipulate polls or not. The polling places, yes. Polls, I don't know. I don't know.
If you're for labor, you're for Kucinich. And, you know, if you're for ending this war, you're for Kucinich. If you are for marriage equality, you are for Kucinich. If you are health care for everybody, you are for Kucinich. I don't know where the hell your people are coming from down there.
Well, I know where they're coming from. They're saying we can't get Dennis Kucinich elected. We're gonna put somebody in we know get elected. I know where they're coming from. That's what they tell me.
The media is lying to us about that, though.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they are, Dave. I'm not saying the media doesn't lie to us because God knows they do. But I don't think that. I could agree with you if you said that Hillary's lead over Obama isn't what it is, and or it's not as close as it's purported to be in Iowa now, and on all that. But to have Dennis Kucinich nationally in the polls have a 1 or 2% to put him ahead of Clinton and Obama. Would be a stretch for me.
Your colleague there, Tom Hartman, now has several million listeners, so he runs very fast-paced polls. He'll just say your area code and you vote. And so he's able in 10 or 15 minutes to get 100 or so votes. And he's done this, I think, 6 times now. Every time, Edwards and Kucinich, 25-1 over Hillary. Now, what is that saying? Is that a different kind of an audience than most Democrats? I mean, Tom is not he's not as liberal as you. He doesn't take as hardline stances as you. He's intelligent, and he keeps his people informed. But people aren't calling in and lying. They're saying Seattle, Kucinich, Missoula, Kucinich, Edwards, that's the way it goes. And then maybe one or two people will vote for Hillary during the course of that whole thing. Everybody else beats her. You know, she comes in tied with Mike Gravel.
Well, I can tell you this. I think Tom's experience is completely different than mine. Completely different. I'm not saying I don't hear support for Dennis, because I do. But to have him outpoll the other ones, no, that's not my experience at all. I wish it were. But,
well, I'll tell you,
but
I'm
it is
not.
Here.
You could probably go research it. He said at 620 KPOJ, and he runs a straw poll on there too, and Kucinich is winning it big time.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. It really is. I don't think it's accurate, but it is interesting, if nothing else. Hey, Dave, I got a run coming up at the bottom of the hour, and they're going to kick me out of here. Thanks for giving me a call. Bye now. Ah, yes. Well, all I can tell you is my anecdotal experience and what I've seen around here. I would say that Dennis, is, as much as I wish he were, he is not winning from Democrats that I hear from. Anyway, you're listening to The Guy James Show.